Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of December 20th, 2020. This week's sermon is titled, Christmas is for Real People, Long Past Prime, by Carrie Yeck.
Welcome to our online Christmas service here, the week before Christmas, to New Hope Christian Church. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 25. Man, this time of year can be unbelievably hectic and crazy with all of the extra to-do lists and assignments that we have and activities that we normally associate with Christmas, such as caroling and attending Christmas Eve services and decorating the inside of our houses and putting lights on the outside of our houses and buying and wrapping presents, baking and cleaning and sending Christmas cards. Well, you get the idea, right? All of that has to somehow carve out time in our schedule, while at the same time we go right along with our normal everyday tasks as well. I suspect probably there's some of you who are still having to finish your Christmas shopping on this day. One woman put off sending her Christmas cards until the week of Christmas. Now, this was something she did every year, but this particular year, a lot of things had come up, so she rushes to the store, quickly looks over what was left, purchased a package of 50 cards with a nice picture on the front, addressed 49 of the 50 cards, signed them, and sent them off. Relief, she finally had that task done. Well, the night of Christmas, when the families had gone home and things had quieted down, this lady locates the one card she had left over and finally reads the message that appeared to all the other 49 cards sent to her closest family and friends. Are you ready? Here's what that message said. This Christmas card is just to say, a little gift is on the way. I imagine she was surprised. And what do you do in a situation like that, right? You know, every novel, every movie, every television show, every theatrical production has a cast of major characters as well as a cast of minor characters. While the major characters frequently appear throughout the story, the minor characters, the supporting cast, can oftentimes be the reason we remember that particular story. The theme for our Christmas messages has been Christmas is for real people. Quite frankly, people like you and I. Many of us can name the major characters of Christmas, such as Elizabeth and Zachariah, Joseph and Mary, the shepherds and the angels, Herod and the wise men. But we conclude our sermon series today with a message about two minor characters named Simeon and Anna. Both of them are elderly, but both of them play a major role in the Christmas story, so I've entitled this message, Long Past Their Prime. Luke describes the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2 by telling us about Joseph and Mary's trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the angel's announcement to the shepherds in the fields near Bethlehem, and the visit of the shepherds to the baby Messiah in Bethlehem. Verse 21 of Luke 2 tells us that 8 days after the baby was born, he was circumcised and given the name Jesus, just as the angel had said. Verse 22 fast forwards to 40 days later, when Mary and Joseph make a 6-mile trip from Bethlehem to the temple in Jerusalem with their newborn baby. They had to do so for two reasons. According to Leviticus chapter 12, it was necessary for Joseph and Mary to sacrifice a year-old lamb as well as a bird for Mary to be ceremonially pure. Now, If the couple were poor, as was the case with these two, then another bird could be substituted for the lamb. So Joseph and Mary went to the temple to sacrifice two birds so that Mary could be ceremonially pure. The second reason for coming to the temple was to consecrate and dedicate their firstborn son to the Lord. Now, if you may recall, Hebrew families had been doing this ever since God spared the firstborn sons of Israel when the death angel passed over their homes while killing the firstborn sons of Egypt. So our text takes place at the temple in Jerusalem. I'm going to begin reading from Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby, Jesus, to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Now Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years, and then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Israel. So Christmas is for real people, and we see in this text, regardless of their age. I've often heard it said, the best way to see Christmas is through the eyes of a child. The American humorist Irma Bombeck said something very similar, and I quote, "There's nothing sadder in this world," she said, "than to awake Christmas morning and not be a child." I suspect we all have some, if not many, wonderful Christmas memories when we were children growing up, whether it was participating in the church nativity on Christmas Eve, sneaking a peek at the Christmas presents under the tree, driving around our community, as we were looking at the Christmas lights, spending time with our cousins and other relatives. The list can go on and on. But all too often, we assume that Christmas is primarily for kids. Luke tells us in chapter 2, through the angel, that the gift of God's Son is for all people. Therefore, both the message and the wonder of Christmas is meant for all ages of people. While Luke never plainly states Simeon's age, he does share with us that the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And so many have assumed from God's promise that Simeon was quite old. In verses 36 and 37, we are specifically told that Anna was 84 years of age. Why does God feel the need to introduce two elderly people into the Christmas message? The Bible assures us over and over, God is no respecter of persons. In other words, God doesn't play favorites with any one person or any group of people simply because of their occupation, their gender, their wealth, or their age. Our perspective on Christmas often changes as we move through the various stages of life, from children to parents with children to grandparents and then beyond. You know, it just seems like when we were younger, we focus more on receiving than anything else. And as we get older, our focus shifts from receiving to giving. As we become wiser and more mature, we realize there are only so many things we really need. The promise of a life eternally in the life hereafter to an older person is very, very appealing. I wonder if it's even possible to get into the minds of Simeon and Anna when they saw Jesus. Simeon was already in the temple when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as their firstborn son. As a widow of perhaps 60 plus years, Anna was frequently in the temple. She practically lived there. So she sees the Holy Family just shortly after Simeon has connected with them. Now, Luke doesn't give us a lot of details. He simply says that Simeon took the child in his arms and praised God. Now, I know how mother bearers can be. I am married to the mother of four children. And after carrying a child for 9 months, a new mama is not particularly excited with total strangers coming up and snatching the child away from them. Can I hear an amen? So did he somehow alert Mary and Joseph ahead of time to be on the lookout for these two elderly people who already knew the identity of their son? Or had Joseph and Mary experienced so many miracles, unusual things happening in their lives, they just had come to expect the unexpected at any time? Being the godly man that he was, I suspect that Simeon graciously asked permission to hold the Son of God in his arms. While children are usually mesmerized with newborn infants, only older adults, older godly adults, could fully appreciate cradling in one's arms the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God living in this human baby. In one of those years that Christmas was on a Sunday, Dennis and Patricia found themselves traveling the 400 miles to home on Christmas Day because both of them had to work the next day on Monday. Not many places are open on Christmas Day, so they were elated to find a small restaurant where they could get out of the car and take a break and eat some food at the same time. These were committed Christian parents who were feeling blessed to have spent the time they did with their family, blessed at the hope Christ's birth brought into the world. 1-year-old Eric was placed in a metal high chair where he was immediately bouncing and giggling, and it was then that Patricia saw the source of little Eric's excitement. She described the man who was looking at Eric and making faces as having hair unwashed and uncombed, whiskers too short to be called a beard, but way beyond a shadow. A nose, she said, as varicose as the map of New York, clothes that were tattered, baggy, and worn, toes that poked out from his would-be shoes. And he was smiling and waving and talking to one-year-old Eric. "Hi there, baby. I see you, Buster. Hey, big boy." I suspect all of us have done that with babies at one time in our lives. Well, even after the meal arrived, the man was shouting across the room to little Eric, "Do you know patty cake? Peek-a-boo," etc. He was loud, and he was a drunk. And even Dennis and Patricia's six-year-old asked, "Why is that man talking so loud?" But little Eric kept making faces and noises and with his newfound friend. And when Patricia tried to turn the high chair so it wasn't facing him, Eric squirmed around or turned around and swung around his body to face the old man. And when they were finally leaving the restaurant, Patricia thought maybe she would be able to kind of squeeze by. But her eyes came in contact with this man's eyes. And he asked, "Would you let me hold your baby?" Before she could answer him, one-year-old Eric propelled himself out of her arms and into this man's arms. Eric laid his head on the man's ragged shoulder. His eyes closed. Tears came out from underneath his eyelashes. His aged hands, marked with grime and hard labor, gently rocked little Eric and stroked his back so that when the man's eyes opened, he focused them squarely on Patricia's and said, "You take care of this baby." And as he pried Eric from his chest, almost as if doing so was causing him pain, he said, "God bless you, ma'am. You've given me my best Christmas gift." Patricia writes, and I quote, "At that moment I was awestruck, ashamed, and couldn't say anything more." I wonder if that's how Simeon and Anna felt. What is the message of Christmas? That the unconditional love of God can melt any human heart of any person at any age. As believers in Jesus, we need to put aside the temporary wrappings of Christmas. And regardless of how old or young we may be, soak in the gift of God's unconditional love for us. Secondly, Christmas is for real people, but especially the righteous and devout. It's interesting. Luke does not call Simeon a priest, doesn't call him a Pharisee, doesn't call him a Sadducee, or any other kind of religious leader. Luke simply describes Simeon as righteous and devout, verse 25. If we believe in God as the creator, the sustainer, and the redeemer of the entire universe, then it only stands to reason only this God always knows what is right. Only this God always does what is right. Simeon was committed to reflecting God's righteousness in his life. How about us? How do we want to be known? As a professional athlete? A famous entertainer? A powerful and rich business individual? Or as a humble and compassionate believer who loved the Lord and loved people? Our greatest impact on the world around us will not simply be in how many people know us or how many people friend us on Facebook, but rather by how well we know God. Anna was a widow for over 60 years who devoted herself to worshiping God. She was always at the temple, fasting and praying. Anna was a prophetess, which does not mean that her primary task was that of predicting the future, but rather that she regularly expounded upon the truth of God's word and helped apply it to people's lives. Like Simeon, she also would have been righteous and devout. Both Simeon and Anna treated people with dignity and respect. Both were determined to reflect God's righteousness in their speech and in their actions. Both were rewarded with a personal touch from the Almighty God. Does that mean the unchurched, the unrepentant, the spiritually lost person can't enjoy Christmas? No, not at all. But let me ask you this. Who enjoys watching golf on television more? That individual who enjoys playing golf themselves and is familiar with the terminology of golf, or someone who very rarely plays golf and knows very little about it? Both can watch golf. Both can enjoy golf. But we know that one is going to enjoy it more than the other, right? Yuri Gagarin was a famous hero in Russia when on April 12th of 1961, he became the first human being to orbit the Earth. He's reported to have looked out his window and said, "I don't see any God up here." In truth, Nikita Khrushchev, the Soviet premier, said in an address to the Communist Party, "Why do people cling to God?" Gagarin flew into space and he didn't see God. Well, because Gagarin was so loved by the Russian people, Khrushchev put words into his mouth that Gagarin did not speak. And Khrushchev did it because he wanted to sway the Russian people. But in fact, a close friend of Gagarin's quoted the famous cosmonaut as privately saying, "An astronaut cannot be suspended in space and not have God in his mind and in his heart." The unchurched and the devout believer can both be in awe of creation. Both can enjoy great music. Both can enjoy Christmas. But who's going to enjoy creation and music and Christmas more? The person who actually knows the Creator responsible for our universe and music and Christmas, or the person who knows very little about the Creator? There were hundreds, if not thousands, crowded in the temple area the day Mary and Joseph paid a visit with God's newborn son Jesus. But to the overwhelming majority who saw this young family, they blended in with all of the other people who were there to dedicate their firstborn son or worship in the temple as well. But Simeon and Anna saw what no one else saw, because they both knew the Word of God. They both knew the God in Scripture. While the world still celebrates Christmas, to most, it is an increasingly secular holiday when businesses boom, families get together, and schools have vacation. Only the truly righteous and devout can appreciate the truth of Christmas, which is this: Emmanuel has come. God is with us. And then thirdly, we see in this text of Scripture that Christmas is for real people who are led by the Spirit. Verse 27 tells us the Spirit led Simeon to the temple. Verse 38 implies that Anna was also led by the Spirit as she came along, just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph. So, It was no accident that either Simeon or Anna were in the temple when Mary and Joseph were there. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11 that God makes everything work out according to his plan. Everything. In other words, God doesn't work by accident. God doesn't spin things in motion and then just see what happens. Simeon was in the right place at the right time because God put him there. With his own hands, Simeon held the baby Messiah. Anna was in the right place at the right time because God put her there. And with her eyes, Anna was able to see the Savior of all mankind. Simeon would say at that moment, "My life is now complete. What could I ever do that is greater than what I have just seen or what I have just experienced? I am ready to die." Martin Luther King once said something very similar. He is quoted as saying, "Like any man, I would like to live longer, but it really doesn't matter anymore," he said, "because I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen the promised land." Nothing can be better than seeing Jesus and knowing Jesus. Not a Super Bowl ring, not a lottery jackpot, not even being personal friends with a famous individual. Nothing. When a person is led by a guard to a prison, when a sheep is led by a shepherd to pasture, or when a student is led to a truth by a teacher, someone or something is submitting their will to follow the will of someone else. To be led by the Holy Spirit of God is to willingly submit our selfishness to the will of someone who is a whole lot smarter than any of us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 that being led by the Spirit is a trait that is seen in children of God. Jesus promised that after he left his disciples, the Holy Spirit would guide them into truth. The Holy Spirit would help apply that truth to their lives. In Matthew 10, Jesus instructed his disciples not to worry about what they should say when they were arrested. The Holy Spirit would give them the right words to say. It's imperative that if we want to be led by the Spirit of God, that we need to know the Word of God. Neither Simeon or Anna just happened to be in the temple that day when Joseph and Mary walked in with the baby Jesus. They were frequent attenders. And likewise, the Holy Spirit is far more likely to lead us in reflecting God's righteousness when familiarizing ourselves with God's Word is an ongoing discipline in our lives. While Scripture records instances of the Holy Spirit verbally and audibly directing his people on what to do, I personally don't think that is a normal experience, that the Holy Spirit is audibly. God's Spirit works through his revealed word, through the advice of godly people, and yes, even through circumstances. It's interesting to me how the divine appointments God sets up for us to know and see him are always followed up by divine appointments God sets up for us to share him with others. Verse 38 reveals that Anna talked about the child to everyone, everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Verses 34 and 35 reveal that Simeon both blessed and warned Mary and Joseph. And then, as if he knew that Joseph would not be around the entire life of Jesus, Simeon looked right at Mary and told her this child would be a blessing to some and a stumbling block to others, that many would oppose Jesus and their opposition would be emotionally heartbreaking to her. Both Simeon and Anna were extremely grateful for the privilege they had to see the Messiah. Like them, God wants us to see life and God's handiwork in life with a spirit of gratitude. My friends, none of us is so bad that God cannot forgive us. None of us is so equipped that God cannot equip us. And none of us is so insignificant that God cannot use us. No matter who we are, where we live, what we've done, how we look, or how old or young we might be, God has a plan for our lives. When Joseph and Mary fled Bethlehem and traveled to Egypt with their son, reflecting on the hardships they had gone through, I think it would be Simeon's blessing and Anna's words of hope they would remember that would keep them going. And likewise, we never know when something we say, something we do may be a ray of hope and an encouragement that keeps people going through tough times. It may be a hug, a smile, a card, a letter or a note. Several years ago, a lady wrote me a note that she had come to worship and was there in the auditorium, was preparing to do so when a wave of loneliness swept over her. As she was walking out, not knowing that she was walking out, but simply seeing her, she said in this note that I had kind of intercepted her and hugged her and gave her a smile. So she went back into the auditorium and worshiped and thanked me for the encouragement to do so. You know what? Only God can know how He used her to drop me a note on a day when I was really down and I needed to hear from Him. So let us not grow weary in our walk with the Lord. Let us be the Christmas light that brightens someone's life, even as the light of Jesus brightened the lives of Simeon and Anna. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, please call. Call us at the church. Someone will coach you on how you can have that relationship. God's entrance into this earth was for that purpose, so that you and I might personally know Him. Do not delay, but do it now. Let's pray. Wonderful Father in heaven, thank you for every character that we read about in the story of Christmas. Even these two minor characters, Simeon and Anna, whose lives, whose appearance in the Christmas story rings out volumes to us and helps us to know that, yes, that good news is meant for all people of all ages. And Lord, might we draw encouragement from their lives, and might we be a positive factor and a positive light, even as they were, in the lives of those we share this good news with. Lord, this week, as we gather together with families and friends, may we be a light, a source of hope and promise with everyone we come in contact with. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth and ultimately dying in our place. In your name we pray. Amen. So check out the times of the Christmas Eve services, which begin Sunday night and go throughout the week. and have a Merry Christmas, a Christ-filled Christmas. And remember to be the church, be Christ, shine God's righteousness in every environment He places you in this week. God bless you and Merry Christmas.